Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from the megacity metropolis of Toronto. I'm your host, Eric Anthony, and I'm very, very happy to welcome back to the show my favorite co-host, I think a lot of people's favorite co-host, one of the hardest people to book for the show for various reasons, and I'm befuddled by how hard it can be to book this person. But I'm proud to present the one, the only, the elusive, the incomparable, Lady J.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
You're one of my original, most frequent main co-hosts, and it's been the hardest to get you back on the show. You're big time.
I'm busy.
You're a big shot. Is that what it is?
Yes. That golden retriever is funny.
And you're completely ignoring me watching Instagram videos.
I'm not ignoring
you.
I just saw this golden retriever. He totally missed the ducky and fell back. I'm closing it now. How's my full attention.
Daph J, how the hell are you?
Good.
So, as we record this, it's May the 4th. It's Star Wars Day. We are still amidst this global pandemic. A lot of people's lives are upside down. Now, I want to ask you how you're doing, but as much as I know how you're doing, and I want you to share with the people, keep in mind to be a little bit sensitive to what the rest of the world is experiencing. How are you dealing with what's considered the new normal right now?
I'm fine.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Just fine.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been off of work now?
My last day of work officially was March 18th.
March 18th. So
March 18th.
Almost 2 months.
Almost.
Are you bored?
No. I'm not.
Is this the best vacation ever?
Listen, I think... I think depending on people's circumstances and their situation at hand, it is a really difficult time.
Yeah, for sure.
Globally.
Yeah.
Personally, sure. I think people have their challenges, whether it's due to, whatever they might be, whether they're still working. Whether you're not working, it's a challenge overall. But I will say for myself, I have taken this time to kind of change my perspective on my viewpoints on life. And just trying to look at things glass half full.
Yeah.
I think that's the best. I mean, I'm no expert, but at least for myself, that's the best way to cope with this situation. I'm not looking at it as a, you know... I'm trying to look at it as a paid vacation. So far, we're in that side of the world where our government is doing something. I don't know if it's exactly the right thing, but there's something happening where I'm able to keep my head above water and still maintain a responsible attitude towards this thing.
Right.
And just trying to stay positive because I do think it can affect people very, very deeply. But I'm trying to make the most of it right now. So for me, I'm okay. I'm good.
Yeah, well, that's good because, again, I think in all seriousness, as much as we can, you know, enjoy the time off in a way, and like some kids don't have to go to school, so it's like extended summer vacation.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's approach to it or circumstance is different, but I think it's a good opportunity to kind of take stock in your life. And if you have the circumstances where you can enjoy or hopefully enjoy the people that you can see, it is important to be grateful for some of the stuff we do have.
Yeah.
And living in a relatively safe environment where there isn't a lot of the... nonsense that you see happening in some countries. So
relatively.
Yeah. So
It's also, like I said, it's you can only control you.
Hmm.
And I think onus and responsibility falls on yourself, and that's the only thing you can really control. So, yeah, you were saying.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, and me and you talk about it all the time, because we do see each other now more than probably ever since we've been married.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to come home and share a meal with your family, with your spouse. But it does make you kind of appreciate, it makes you appreciate sometimes the, how much you can actually stand the person you live with. You know, you can,
yeah.
Depending on where you live, sometimes you hear neighbors fighting.
Yeah.
And you realize, like, sheesh, mm-hmm. I'm pretty glad that me and you never have to,
I mean, I don't know how accurate this is, but I did hear that divorce rates have...
people are going to be throwing their kids out of minivans come school opening.
Yeah, like, I feel like there's a lot of people that are kind of, like, riding that threshold of, like, I've had it up to here already. But, so, and I think early on, because it was still kind of new.
Yeah.
And you weren't working at that time.
Yeah.
You have gone back since then.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I think we were together for about just over 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think we had a talk about that. Kind of like we went out for a walk and we're like, at least I was like, hey, so, you know, I know we talk about everything, but I just want to be clear. Am I driving you crazy? Like, am I doing anything that's going to, like, set you off or, you know? And so far we're okay. Has that changed since then?
No, not at all. No, not at all. It's actually been a refreshing revelation.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you think too, like, do I enjoy being with this person because I see them, I only see them when they come home from work?
Yeah, because I get to miss them.
Yeah,
but now they're here all the time.
Exactly, yes.
Do I actually like them?
Yeah. And thumbs up.
Yeah.
You get a 2 thumbs up, Siskel and Ebert.
Oh, thank you.
And you've turned into a very good chef.
Listen, I have uncovered skills that I never thought I had.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's not. It's just you never had a chance to use them. Like, when would you have an opportunity to really, time-wise?
Yeah, and right? That's the thing. That's the thing. I think that's why I'm having such a, like, I'm riding the wave right now, because there's nothing more valuable to me than time.
Right.
And a lot of that is, you know, for us that work, you know, besides your home, your work is your second job. If that, right?
Yeah.
Your work is your second home.
Yeah.
And you know, you spend most of your time there. Those people that you work with are like, they're a constant in your life.
Right.
And then by the time you get home, depending what your commute is like, especially living in a major metropolitan city, sheesh, you're lucky if you, like, get to beat the sun.
Yeah.
And enjoy an afternoon.
That's true.
An early evening.
That's true.
So that right now I'm trying to, like I said, looking at the positive and actually being able to have a meal, have a conversation, not feeling the rush of things.
Right.
So yeah, that's it for me right now.
That's awesome. I'm happy that you've been able to have that perspective, glass half full.
And I think that's very important.
Yeah.
Because we can be so heavily bombarded with the news and media and the negativity of it, and that can take a toll on a person.
Yeah, for sure. It was taking a toll off, especially the first few weeks.
Yo, I don't even watch the news anymore.
Yeah.
I just don't.
You're gonna find out things are open and you can go back to work and you're gonna be like, I don't want to watch the news.
Yeah, sorry. No, like maybe one. Today, I think, actually, and it was just because I was flipping channels to see if there was anything on TV versus me doing, like, the regular Netflix or Disney channel or whatever. And I came across Trudeau, and I was like, yeah, that's enough. Like, if it's important, they'll make a big thing out of it. I'll find out eventually.
Yeah, you'll see it on your timeline.
Yeah.
So what are some things that you do... you've been doing, like, to share with the listeners as far as like your COVID-19 coping things? Like what kind of things have you been watching? Have you been reading stuff? What's the routine for you? What can you recommend to folks as far as media that they can, something you've watched that you can recommend?
Okay, so I to your surprise, I did pick up a book here and there.
Yeah, but
and I've been coloring. I posted it. I've been coloring.
Okay.
My Batman comic coloring books.
Yeah.
From time to time, I'll take a break and do a little fill in the blanks there. And I've been watching lots of stuff.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
But I mean, to be honest with you, with all the extra time that you've had, I don't feel like you're watching more than what would be considered a normal amount of TV. Like, I still think it's pretty normal for the amount of time you could be watching television. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, because you're home all the time now, you're not just binging TV shows. Yeah, but
I
also, like,
you know, I get up. I try to still maintain some type of routine, right? So, you know, I go out, and I'm actually, because I'm home, I get to, and the weather has, you know, it has up and down days, but relatively it's okay. So, you know, me and Kobe go for lengthier walks together more often now. So just being active outside of the house, in which case I'm not totally a couch potato.
Mm-hmm.
And I do find that after some time, like, I do want to spruce things up. I do want to change things around and make things a little fresh. So, just kind of changing my environment that way. I'm not totally engulfed in just watching stuff all the time.
You can watch as much as you want.
Of course you can. I'm not excusing it. I'm just stating fact. I'm not just sitting on my ass all day. I do stuff.
So what have you watched that has stood out for you? Something new or even something old that you've rediscovered?
I rewatched Heat.
Did you finish it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
excuse me. How does it hold up?
I don't like it. It's a dumbass movie. Like, it's so stupid.
Okay. Was it just a product of its time? It was...
Listen, I think the acting is good.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
It has one of the two greatest actors of all time. It has Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. I can't dispute that.
Right.
And the 10-minute on-screen at the coffee shop scene is great.
Yes.
But I find that overall, I was kind of watching this movie. And it's long, too.
It's very long. Yeah, and that's for sure.
I'm trying to follow. And I'm thinking, okay, there's characters in the movie that what purpose are they serving? And people who are relevant to the story, all of a sudden, there's no conclusion to their storyline. And then people who are introduced that seem to have some kind of validity end up just standing around doing nothing. Like, I just found like it was...
It didn't
give me an ending that I was like, this is what I watched 3 hours for?
Right.
I don't know. That's just my opinion.
No, I mean, I remember when I watched it the first time, I kind of felt the same way in my memory. So I've never been drawn back to watching it again. And I feel like for that to be that watershed moment of De Niro and Pacino being on screen together for the first time, I didn't find it was the most memorable movie for me. But maybe if I'd grown up watching it, like, I might have felt differently. But for me, I agree with you.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I'm missing something, but personally, when I watched it, I'm like, I don't get the hype. What's happening here?
Yeah. Okay,
so it's a heist movie, and things are going really badly for everybody. So what now? And I was kind of underwhelmed. The ending wasn't all that much for me.
You've been rooting for the villains the last couple of years. I have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
You left.
I tend to do that though.
Yeah, you've been rooting for the villains. You were.
Because I think motive is everything. Context is everything. Like, why are you doing it? You know what I mean? Like Aladdin, was he really a thief that needed to get his hands chopped off? No, he just wanted to eat. And when he finally, him and Abu, got that apple, then they saw a little brother and sister who were like, they were street rats. And, you know, and he gave it to them.
I love that you went from Heat to Aladdin. That's a great, great segue.
I'm just saying.
Like, yeah, no, good. That's good. Okay. What have you watched that you like?
What have I watched that I like? Well, that's the other thing. As much as I explained that I've been busy, I've done a lot of watching. I forgot a couple of things. I'm watching the Jordan documentary.
Yes, The Last Dance.
Yes.
That's a lot of fun. It's bringing me back to my childhood in a lot of ways. I don't remember watching basketball that much as a kid, but I do remember the Jordan moments and the Jordan shoes and the Dream Team. And
I feel like I remember that, like, watching era. This series, there's a lot of basketball highlights.
Yeah.
More so than I remember, right? Like, obviously, 84, when he started playing, that's when we just came into the world. So we didn't see the beginnings of it. But everything after that, the everything he did and right. how he did it and the imprint he left on the game.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that kind of stuff. I remember the apparel. I remember the suits. I remember the cars that they would... Like, all of a sudden, it takes you back to that time.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, the music that they're using in the series, docu-series is quite...
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It is fun. It's very reminiscent.
Yeah. That definitely takes you back. I remember... I mean, as a kid, in Jordan's heyday, when he really, really took over the game and took over sports and just the larger-than-life persona that he became, I was at the perfect age. I was like 7, 8, 9. Like, that was that time. And he was like a superhero. That Bulls 23 jersey almost felt like a superhero costume in a way. When that guy had it on, there wasn't going to be anybody who could beat him. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like there was something about that specific, if the right word is visage, of this guy playing basketball with this. It just was like poetry in motion all the time. And it's not like he never lost a game. He lost games, and he didn't go through every point of his career winning a championship every season. He suffered losses, for sure. But when he got to that apex point of the mountain, he stayed up there until he decided he was done with it, which I think is what added to that mystique and that you immortalize this guy even more. So watching this back and kind of living through those moments as a kid, when you go back to school and talk about Jordan highlights you saw and all that kind of stuff, it's definitely a trip down memory lane. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. And you've been watching the Barcelona, speaking of sports.
Oh, yeah.
Barcelona documentary, which, again, very, very well done. Takes a really personal look at the team. And it's got a lot of feel-good things to it because of the camaraderie that exists between the team. And, again, you're watching one of the best players in the world ever in Messi, seeing him and how he actually is with his teammates.
Well, what I like about that docu-series is that it's not, like, even though you know Messi is the captain, he's the center of the team, everything's around him, it's not centered
mm-hmm.
around him.
The right. way
the Jordan
the Last Dance series yeah.
is
yeah.
right now. And I get people's approach will be different because they're concentrating on the team and what they've been accomplishing as of late.
Right.
But it's, you know, again, still celebrating their accomplishments as a team and their defeats as teams and what they do to kind of come out of that funk when they are in one, and just seeing how people interact on a human level, because that's the, like you said, right? Like, that number 23 is like a superhero costume to many,
mm-hmm.
and they become like this immortalized thing, but they are human. They do make mistakes. They do feel tired. They do
get injured. Have,
you know, bad habits,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you and I were talking about this when we went on one of our walks, where I feel like we live in a world where we, as a people, like to build up our heroes just to tear them down. And I think that's one of the things that tends to happen, especially in the sports world, right? We love them until we hate them. And I forget why now I'm at this point. But
you're talking about FC Barcelona, but seeing like the intimate camaraderie,
it humanizes them.
Yeah.
It humanizes them, and you can see that, you know what? Yeah, there's flaws, but what do they do to come out of that? And how, as we as you know, the court of public opinion, how do we not hold those things against them?
Right.
You know what I mean? And continue to celebrate their skill and art, whatever it might be, without judging them harshly when something happens. And I mean, like, something for real, right? Like,
do you think that's necessary, though, in a way, or that we even realize we're doing it? Is this something we do for...
I think media has a way of tainting our judgment.
Yeah, the media definitely builds people up in our minds and presents them in a certain way, and then when they're ready to tear them apart, they do that too. But do you think that's a necessary thing for us as humans to have to make sure we don't elevate somebody to that level where we continue to think they're infallible? Like, at some point, you've got to see the fallacies in people in order to check yourself, check your own reality. Do you think we need to do that sometimes? And sometimes we take it too far in trying to tear someone down after we've elevated them?
I think everything should be balanced.
Of course. But
no one does that. There's no juice in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun. There's no dirt.
Yeah.
So they try to, you know.
It's not salacious. It's, you know, there's that when it bleeds, it leads sort of thing.
Right.
We have fun. Well, I think we're all guilty of that in a way. Like, when we hear people fighting, when we hear some sort of tension, we're like, well, what's going on? What are they talking about?
Yeah, and it's a terrible, terrible quality to have. But that's, you know, that's just what it is.
Yeah, I think there's...
I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging that there's a problem. But how much do we harp on it where now it just... Like, we give it so much attention.
Right, right.
Where it, now we've lost the reason why we like this thing or participate in that thing you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Its whole real meaning is now lost in the drama.
Yeah, sometimes we also expect people who are very, very good at something to now mean that they are that way with everything.
Mm.
So when you watch Michael Jordan is who he is because he's the best basketball player. But he may not have been, and this is not, I don't know, just an example. He's not Michael Jordan, the basketball player, is not as good at being a father, perhaps, as he was at basketball.
Mm.
But sometimes we put people in a position where, like, well, you're Michael Jordan. I thought you're just the best at everything. And it just leads to that disappointment when we realize that, oh, you were so good at basketball because these other things were lacking. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I guess.
We put people in a place where we think they're Christ. And they just got to be perfect across the board for us. And then when they don't match up to that, we kind of tear them down. So I think I like personally seeing the fallacies of people who are so good at something. And when they can even admit to, like, yeah, this is, what do you think, I'm perfect?
Well, I think it just displays their humility in anybody. Anybody who's good at something, if they recognize where their faults are, it just... makes them more appealing. And not because I want you to be a terrible person or because I want you to have faults to make myself feel better, but it's nice to have a conversation with someone you can relate to. Yes or no?
No,
why are you smirking?
I'm smirking because you were talking about basketball and soccer, and we got into this philosophical tangent of psychology and who we can trust.
Well, welcome to our daily walks, everybody.
Right? No, that's true. That's true. How about breeding? I came home and in one sitting, I had given you a book that I purchased for you years ago, in New York 4 from Brian Wood. I think it's Dark Horse is the publisher. You read that in one sitting. Didn't talk to me for a couple of hours. I'm like, what the heck, man? Like, you really go in hard. And then a couple days later, you did the same thing with The Superior Foes of Spider-Man. Talk to me about it. How did you find... You didn't give me an official review on either of those books.
Okay, so do you want like a quick synopsis on the New York 4?
Sure, whatever you want.
Or did you want to read it on your own and you don't want me to spoil it?
No, go ahead, tell me.
Okay, I think it was... Listen, it wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
I didn't particularly... how do I say this? didn't like it. But I'll tell you what I did like.
Yeah.
I did like the narrating of it where it would actually highlight, like, New York spots. Like, either the parks or cafes or, like, actual locations in New York City.
Right.
And then the main character who was also kind of narrating it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she would say, it would say, like, Houston Street. And in my mind, I was like, oh, you know, like, if you don't say Houston, you're saying it wrong.
Right.
And then the narrator actually describes saying you don't pronounce it like Houston, Texas. You actually pronounce it. And I'm like, oh, like, I totally knew that. So it kind of like those fact checkpoint things. It was just cool. Or when they were riding the subway and... In obviously in like the whole like bubble thing, see, this is why I don't like talking comics because nothing makes sense when I say it out loud. Not the word balloons, but panels. Yeah, it was the narrating part.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like it's describing the automated operator saying the arrival at a station,
mm-hmm.
and I can hear it in my mind as I'm reading it because I've gone to New York so many times to know that that is exactly how they dictate the stops at the stations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could picture myself there in the panels. Like, I felt like I was in the story myself because right. It was so realistic and it was so...
like, grounded.
Sure.
Is that... I mean... From the look of the book and the way that it was, I think, even advertised, was that...
It seemed very, very authentic.
Okay, yeah. Like, it...
Like,
it,
even it, being, like, at the NYU... Like, I've seen those flags. The purple right. and white. Like, I've walked up the streets where that is. Like, I know where in the city she's navigating through because I've been there myself.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, it's not just we're at Central Park. No, no, no. This is the bridge from that exit... Going into the park, like I know I can situate myself where I am in the city.
Right. So it was like there was it was authentic, but it was also accurate.
Yeah.
Like you having been there, it's like that's how it feels, that's what it sounds like. But even when you're walking down the streets, the way they illustrated it was like you've seen that before. Like that is how it is.
Yeah, it was an actual landmark. Mm-hmm. Not just the typical, oh, there is the Empire State Building, there's a Brooklyn Bridge, now you're in New York City. No, no. It was like, we are in the Village, mm-hmm. you know, we're here, we're in Soho. Like, I just knew where we were, even though it wasn't obvious.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but the story itself, you didn't care for?
Well, okay, the story itself took place from the perspective of four girls... In college, all different personalities going through their own thing,
mm-hmm.
coming together, living in an apartment, going through their academic studies and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it was a little too, I'll tell you what kept me intrigued. It was just drama.
Okay.
Like, I didn't feel there was any real resolution, the way there was nothing for me in Heat. Like, okay, we're telling stories of four people going through this transition in life. I'm like, okay, and now what? What was the point of this? Is this just telling people's lives, or are we trying to see the growth in their character? Like, I found it hard to understand why I was reading what I was reading.
So it was very... slice of life type of things instead of it being a definite plot of here's a problem, here are all of the...
Yeah, it felt like an inconclusive essay. It was kind of open-ended.
Right. So it would almost be
like... Which is at the same time the same thing that I liked about it. Because life is unscripted. You go in thinking you're going to do this thing... And that's the beauty of it, right? Like, how many times have we found ourselves in the same place? Whether it's school, whether it's church, whether it's work. But we all end up deviating or coming out of that feeling different or learning something different, having a different perspective, and then building a path differently than what we initially thought we would have, right? So these, well, maybe I do like this story. I don't know now.
It seems to me, you know what it is? I find that you tend to enjoy, but not sure how you feel about the film, because a lot of times you'll watch like a Woody Allen movie and you really liked the experience of watching it, but you don't really know how you feel about any of those characters or what was the movie about.
Yeah, there's a lot of the times where you'll say to me, oh, so you what? I saw you saw this thing and this thing on this streaming service. What'd you think? And I'll be like, yeah, I want to see you see it, then you tell me what you think you like about it, and I'll tell you if I think or I agree. Like, I'm just never really sure. But in respects to this story, like I said, you have four college girls in college. You know, one is really good at their school, at their work. Another one is kind of heh. The other one's kind of being shady. Another one has a relationship here and there. And by the end of it, everyone's kind of going on their own path.
Right.
And it's like, was this like a coming of age, past the blooming stage type of story? Or what happens now?
When you read a comic book, because you're so used to comics being, I guess, there's always like a definite problem, the need for some type of a hero, some type of action to occur in what you've read before, right? So there's been a lot of Batman superhero style comics.
Yeah, but I do find I like one of my favorite comic books is Gotham Central.
Right.
Where there is, I mean, Batman makes one little single appearance, but it's, I like...
Barely a cameo.
What I like about these stories is that it's telling of an atmosphere, an environment. It's giving you context about what is happening at that time without it being overly heightened about this one thing.
Right.
It's multiple. It's life.
Right.
It's just, and like I said, life is unscripted. You can't tell what's going to happen. You can prepare it all day long so you're blue in the face that this is what I want to do. And people who have that type of discipline and devotion and passion can probably achieve everything they've ever checked off their list. And even when they do that, and then what?
Mm-hmm.
What then? So I don't know. I like those stories where they're just kind of having commentary on life,
right?
People's relationships with each other, tension with this person. This person is their you know, their go-to person.
It sounds to me like you like the book, but you,
you know what I didn't like? I think because I'm not a feminist, but I feel like I am sort of, kind of
becoming.
I don't know. Maybe I found that the things that in this story portraying to each female was very sexist sometimes.
Okay, you have an example?
Well, one of them seemed very, she was portrayed as very insecure.
Okay.
Another one was like, she was promiscuous.
Okay.
Another one was like constantly on her phone, texting. It's like everybody is guilty of these attributes, but it seemed like as if that was like their main thing because they were female.
Was it made that way based on what I'm was saying written?
That was my perception based on what I saw and what I read.
Okay.
But I didn't necessarily, so I'm not saying that's what the writer was going for. That's just what my interpretation was. I'm like, really? Why does this chick have to be dumb enough to feel like she needs to be snooping through the guy's garbage to try to get this and that and a third? Like, what's her problem? You know what I mean?
Do you feel that the girls were different enough that even though they had some inherently, I guess you could say, stereotypical female traits, the fact that they were all different was important, because not all of them were promiscuous, or not all of them were prudish, or not all of them, you know what I mean? Like,
no.
Do you think that's a more fair way to tell a story? Because you have an insecure person, and it could have been a man who's insecure, and you got a promiscuous person. It could be a guy who's promiscuous.
It's all from, like, they're all females. And how do you know that just because that's what she was doing, that that is how she felt?
Okay, I think I have to read it to know what you're describing, to get the feeling of it better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying about that.
So would you recommend it or not?
No.
No.
Not really.
Okay. And you wouldn't read it again?
I didn't hate it.
No, I don't think you would have hated it. If you hated it, I don't think you would have gotten through it on your own terms.
No, I enjoyed it. It's just... And you know what? Maybe what I'm saying is incorrect. Maybe it wasn't, like... I'm just like, really? Like, there isn't anything... Like, it's not just females that are afflicted by these emotions. It's everybody. But it just seems like that's just the typical, oh, let's make her look like she's jealous and make her insecure or make this person... I don't know. It was just very... I don't know. It just seemed too typical.
Okay.
Where they were like, it was like, almost really? Like tropes. Nothing new.
Okay. You think... All right, I get what you mean.
But then at the end, maybe it all comes together, and so it's like, well,
Maybe that was her growing pains?
Exactly. So I'm not hating on it. I'm not saying it's anti-feminist. I'm not saying it was, you know, anything like that. It just was kind of like, really, though? It's like putting a label on whatever. I'm done.
Okay, we're done with New York 4. How about the Superior Foes of Spider-Man?
That I liked.
Tell me about it. What made you pick that book up?
The cover. The art cover. The art.
Yeah.
I like the little ink.
What's the
ink? It's like the shadow of Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then the little guys underneath.
So the dust jacket actually made a difference in the appeal to try that out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, there's that old cliche saying of don't judge a book by its cover, but in the case of comics, I think that it's safe to say that a cover can do a lot of good.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, art is... a part of that whole experience, right?
Right.
So in my case it was appealing.
Cool. So it's really hard to say this because you don't have or ask this because you don't have a lot of experience, let's say, with Spider-Man per se, but what was your expectation going into this book? What did you think it would be like?
Okay, so on the dust jacket, is that what you call it? Mm-hmm. Because I saw Spider-Man's shadow, mm-hmm. I thought he was going to be a prevalent character in the story that bears his name.
Right.
He was not in it.
Right.
I think there was like flashbacks of encounters with him, but it was from the perspective of the foes of his previous... villains,
mm-hmm.
and basically what they're either going through or what they have gone through or what's led them down the path that they're currently on. So I didn't expect him not to be in it.
Did that disappoint you?
No, because I think the story was clever enough to keep me intrigued.
Right. So any of the villains, did you know them? The superior foes?
None of them. None of them. I knew the name Shocker.
Okay, yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah, Shocker was featured in, I think, one of the movies, but very much go ahead.
And no, sorry to cut you. I was going to say that later on in the movie, in the book, other villains were introduced, but very, very minusculely.
Okay.
I saw the Falcon.
Oh, really? I don't remember.
Is he called the Falcon? Or is Falcon the good guy? He's the bald-headed eagle guy with the Michael Keaton played him in
the... Oh, the Vulture.
The Vulture. See, that's the guy.
Vulture.
Him, I saw a picture of him. And I'm like, oh, I know that guy. Well, I don't, actually. Yeah, yeah. Clearly, yeah. I confused him. But I'm like, oh, I know that's a bad guy, too.
Right, right, right.
But the majority of the bad guys, no, I didn't know who they were.
And how did... As you're reading the book, because it you know, it's the quote-unquote omnibus of the Superior Foes of Spider-Man, but it was... small omnibus, I think 16, 17 issues, but it's heavily dialogued. Like, it's not one of those comic books that's action packed.
So many words.
Yeah, there's a lot of things.
But that you, I didn't feel it. Okay, I didn't realize.
Describe that. Like,
well, I am adverse to lots of words on lots of letters on a page.
Right.
I don't necessarily like it. Unless it's a really good novel. Like,
sure.
Well, okay, like, you accuse me of, like, sitting through something and not looking up. I can, and I'm capable of doing that. When I'm lost in a good story, maybe I did like the New York 4. Jesus Christ, I don't even know anymore. So, the Superior Foes.
Right.
Because it was also written with the narrator being the character narrating it himself.
Right.
So interesting. Boomerang, right? Yes, Boomerang.
Right.
So he's kind of, so this guy, right? So you want to know the backstory on this guy? So I'm already like, oh, I'm in it. Because this guy has like, he has an attitude. He has a character. He has a spunk about him. There's something that's, okay. Stop doing that. There's something about him that's clever, cocky, witty. And I like it.
Mm.
Right from the jump.
Right.
Very sarcastic. I liked it.
And you did something that I've personally started doing myself. But when I came home from work one day, I heard movie soundtrack in the background while you're reading the book. And I'm thinking, isn't it distracting? Is it just like...
Watching a movie and reading a book at the same time?
Yeah, like I didn't realize that it was the soundtrack. And then when I actually came and sat down with you, I'm like, wait a second. She's listening to the Ocean's 11 soundtrack and reading a heist book. I'm like, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Did you do that on purpose?
It put me in it because there was a couple of things that were said.
Right.
That... reminded me of that. Ocean's 11 is one of my favorite movies. I can never get tired of watching it.
Right.
Because it's witty. It's, you don't expect it. It's clever. And I found that the story, this heist story was kind of going along those lines.
Right.
Where they're planning. There's loyalty or lack thereof. You don't know who you can trust. There's these people planning something. These other people are planning something. And in the meantime, you're being told what everybody's doing with no actual clarity. It was just, at times I found myself being very upset.
Yeah.
While reading it.
And that I think is the
tell. I became invested.
Right. And I think that in itself is the tell of a lot of times a good story, how invested you are and how much you're caring of what happens to them.
I finished that one in 2 days.
Yeah. That one, I think,
because, you know, I had things to do.
But that one is a pretty dense book in a lot of ways. There's a lot going on. And there was 16, 17 issues of it.
Sure. So
finishing that in 2 days is pretty good, I think. I would.
Really? I thought that was going slow.
No. I mean, it's only slow if you're maybe measuring the amount of time it took you to read it, like if it took you 10 hours or something like, but again, that's all relative because every comic doesn't take the same amount of time to read.
Mm.
And the amount of panels, the amount of descriptions, the amount of dialogue, all of that varies from book to book, right? So, but it was a hit. That one you'd recommend.
Yes, I would.
New York 4 you like, but you don't know that you like it. This one you know you like it.
Yeah, this one I like a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. What was so frustrating about it?
Was there something frustrating about
it? So frustrating.
Okay, tell me.
There was so much backstabbing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're dealing with the villains.
Terrible stuff.
Whatever happened to loyalty?
But you cheer for the villains, don't you?
Okay, I do when they're on the same page. Like, this is just... It was so sad sometimes. And poor Shocker. He was... I felt so bad for him, but then at some point I'm like, you know what? You gotta stand up for yourself already. Like, no one can believe in you except you. I felt like I was having a therapy session with this guy. Like, I just wanted to go through the pages and give this guy a hug. And then sometimes I just wanted to slap him. Like, what is wrong with you?
Right.
And then I'm like, wait a minute. Did he just get, thrown into a river in a trunk by his bestie? And then when that you know, that story's told, and then he comes to, like, to show them that I'm here, they're like, yeah, well, you're still a loser. Like, what is happening? And then they tied him up and buried him alive. And then he's like, no, guys, please don't do this. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, no wonder nobody respects you, because you don't even respect yourself. I was so upset. And then, you know. And then I kept reading.
You're getting real worked up over the Shocker.
It was so annoying.
Yeah.
And this boomerang guy, he's such a dick, too. But the one chick that was in it, she's cool.
Yeah.
She's smart, organized. But again, because she was a woman, she was kind of looked on as like, well, what do you have to offer except your organizational skills? It's like, yeah.
That's hilarious.
But then on the flip side, it's like, daddy, come and get me out of trouble now. It's like, we're playing that card now. I thought she was independent and intimidating and all, and, you know, trying to get that power thing. But we're still reverting back to, oh, women use their card to get their way. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like, oh, we're back to this. But she was all right. She wasn't always like... She was actually...
Tombstone's daughter, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That part I remember.
Yeah.
That was a good book. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I actually was able to get it signed by Nick Spencer when I met him at the Toronto Fan Expo, or Fan Expo Canada, I should say. That's the proper way to say it. But he was a really nice guy, actually. And now he's writing Spider-Man. Would you read Spider-Man from him? Or do you like the...
Ooh, you know who does make an appearance?
Tell me.
Peter.
Parker.
I assume.
Okay.
He never says his last name at the end. Because it comes full circle where Shocker is at the bar and he's telling this, I guess he's just telling this guy. So this whole narrating, which you think is for you as the reader, it turns out, to my understanding, he's telling this guy at the bar everything he did.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's like, yeah, so, you know, we're our crew. This is our crew. We kind of suck at it, but we're the best. And, you know, we got some kinks to work out. And such and such is doing this now. And such is doing that. But you know, at the end of the day, I'm the brains behind the operation. He's like, oh, that was a very interesting story. And he's like, yeah, so what's your name? Who you're hearing? He's like, oh, my name's Peter. He's like, oh, nice to meet you, Peter. And I'm like, oh, son of a bitch, it's Peter Parker the whole time! I'm like, oh, he pulled that move. Checkmate. I was like, okay. I liked it. Yeah, it was very... And you know what was funny?
What was
about
funny?
Those times where I was playing the soundtrack in the background?
Yeah.
So, like, when they were, like, scheming?
Yeah.
The scheming music would be playing at the precise time.
Mm.
And then when they would have, like, those heists where they would actually succeed and, like, actually bust through or, like, do their stuff, then, like... It was like, how does it know? It's perfect timing.
So what are you gonna read next now? What's the next on your list?
What is next on my list? I think I want to finish my Toni Morrison book.
Oh, you're gonna read the prose novel?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, do it. Finish your book.
I will.
Nice.
Thanks.
I posted you reading the Superior Foes of Spider-Man and how I was like, I'm so proud, tear in my eye. But I like hearing about things that you've read and watched, and when you come back to the table and have something to share about it. That's always the best. And I'm happy that you're able to take this time to enjoy it. Because since I've known you, literally since I've known you, you've had a job.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, since I've known you, I've only have you seen you read 3 books.
No,
I thought you
were going to say something like that. No, no, no. You've read plenty of books. And in a lot of ways, you've read a lot of very deep and impactful books. But you're not a bookworm. You don't live to read. But I know that when you do get into a book, you really enjoy it. But I do like the fact that you have time now, for the first time in your life, really, to decompress.
Right.
And not just have something to distract you on the train, or, you know, fitting in some time for you to do something for yourself. So now it's like, you know what? I am going to take this time, and I feel like watching this film. I feel like reading this book. I'm going to do this project that I wanted to do in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all these little things that you're wanting to do on your terms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to see you be able to do that. Like, it makes me feel happy. And I like that you're reading the comics you want to read. Or Thanks. Reading the books that you want
to
read.
Yeah, I'm trying to make the most out of this time, for
I think you are. And Thank you. And it's making a difference in the house, I think. Coming home, there's like a nice energy to it.
Oh yeah, my aura is completely like, oh yeah, I'm totally
Until people it. Start saying, when are we going back to work? You're like, you sons of bitches, don't ruin my zen, don't ruin my peace, let me be.
No, like you said, right, there is a newer or a renewed appreciation for this paused time, right?
Yeah.
I think even too, like, on a world scale, like, you know, the planet is healing itself. Like, there's jellyfish in the canals of Venice.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the air is clearing up and cities are now not smoggy. Like, as terrible as things are right now and as sad as they reality is, there is some takeaway from myself.
Right.
To help me appreciate, knock on wood, right now, as of now, what we have, and whether it's in a form of entertainment, whether it's going outside and taking a breath of fresh air, walking with your dog, laughing with someone you call a friend, it's those small things make a huge difference.
Right.
And I'm just trying to, you know, really take in those moments right now.
Good.
A good book helps.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I look forward to the next book you read and the next movies you watch. And we'll do another catch-up. We're almost at episode 200.
Oh, congratulations, almost.
Well, you're a big part of that, 200. Well, no, you're probably part of 100+.
I don't know so about
I
would, that.
I think so. We could do a count. But you're definitely a part of a lot of episodes. So
we have some in the vault.
Yeah, we do. I don't know if I have it saved somewhere on another computer.
I think you have it on a hard drive somewhere.
Maybe, yeah. We do have, I think it was Batman Animated Series.
Mm-hmm.
We did, not, the, no, it was Mask it of the Phantasm.
It was Mask of the Phantasm,
We have a review for Mask of the Phantasm, that's right. I don't know, should I pull that one out for episode 200? It's a little cheap. There, take this one, 4 years old. All right, thanks, Staff J. I always love having you on the show. Come back again soon in another 6 months. We'll try to book it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to rate and review us. I hope you like the content that we have coming this year, trying to mix it up with numerous guests, different guests. And, of course, it's always great to have the one and only Lady J back. Rate and review us. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or whatever your podcast provider is. And follow us on Facebook and all the different social medias. Just look for Eric Anthony. I'm there. Until next time, this is Eric Anthony, Lady J, signing off.
Okay.
Bye, Lady J.
Outstanding, so I stand out. Stand out. I'm more babe than a bathhouse. Top gun on my Tom Cruise. Life for keeps and I don't lose. You're more than love it, cause it's cold as a breeze. So pick a poison, yeah, I got what you need. Nonchalant, got the green on rotation all night.